and praise for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us during the course of the week, for the many answered prayers that you have answered on our behalf. We give you thanks. And as we come this morning, Lord, we are presenting our entire church family to you, and especially our youth. Lord, the enemy has been shackling them, has been doing all sorts of things to them. But Lord, we come against every plot and plan of the enemy that he has thrown upon our youth, upon our church family. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus this morning that you will lift a standard against the old serpent, and that you will let him know that you are in charge. You are our God, the God that we trust with all our hearts. And you ask us not to lean to our own understanding, because it is folly. But in all our ways, you promise that you will direct us. This morning, Lord, we present the youth in entirety to you. The youths are going through tremendous difficulties. And Lord, we lift them up before you this morning. And we are asking you, Lord, to help them to keep trusting you. No matter what the situations are, trust and obey. For there is no other way
to be happy
in Jesus is to trust him and obey. For in fellowship sweet, you will all sit at his feet, and you will walk by his side in the way. What he says you must do, please do it. And where he sends, please go. Never fear, our God is in control. This morning, Lord, I just ask you to remember the speaker that you have called to stand in the gap between you and your people. Just ask you for the infilling of your Holy Spirit upon him this morning, and ask you to condescend in this congregation and help that every woman, every boy, every girl will feel the anointing of your Holy Spirit, and that they may know that you are God and there is none like you. We ask you, Lord, to remember also the GISA children that is planning for their exam on Thursday of next week and the other days. Lord, you have been a God to this university, a wonderful God. You have brought so many of our children and even older students together, and you have blessed them immensely. And it is no different. I'm just asking to stabilize their mind, touch their brain cells, help them not to worry, because what they have studied, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to their remembrance.
Amen.
We ask for your blessings upon the church in its entirety, the pastor, the elders, and each and every member. Lord, we are struggling, but we know that you are in the struggle with us. And we know if we keep our focus, our eyes focusing on you, you will lead us to our destination safely. Lord, we ask you to remember those who are sick this morning, those who are in the hospital, those who ask for a special prayer. Sister Jarrett has suffered another stroke. And we are asking you that you will grant her healing according to your will. We thank you for the Mantles. Brother Mantle is here this morning, and we continue to ask for your undergirding and for your help in his behalf. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have been doing for your children. We are struggling. We are going up on the rough side of the mountain, but we are not giving up on you. We ask you even this morning to remember the Simmons family. Lord, you know everything what is happening. And I'm asking you in a special way that you will remember that young man this morning. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, that you will breathe upon him and give him the understanding that you are God and you love him so very much. Lord, the other young people, it fails us to call them by name, but you know them by name and nature. And I'm asking you, Lord, to keep them steady. Even though the ship is rocking and swaying and want to throw them overboard, but help them to hold on to the unchanging hand of Jesus Christ, because you will never allow them to drown in the deep seas. Lord, we thank you this morning for this church. We thank you that we have an anchor that holds, and it will grip the solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you and we adore you this morning in the beauty of holiness. And we ask you to ride on King Jesus, because no man cannot hinder you. We give you all the praise this morning, and whatever we fail to present to you and ask, fail not according to your divine will and approval to grant it unto us, we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here is it.
This time our pastor is here and we're going to receive some special gifts and ask God's blessing on these gifts. I don't know if you have noticed, but there are some monitors that have been mounted. Those may not have been at the right spot right now, but the one at the back, there's a TV monitor at the back, and there's one up here, one on this side. They are for both sides. I'm not sure that these are at the right spot, but we will fix them. But we want to thank God for them. They were given to us by brethren of the church, three TV monitors, so that the folks upstairs and also those on the pulpit will be able to see much better. Pastor, we invite you at this time to have a special prayer.
Okay, church, shall we stand as we dedicate these gifts? The church loves gifts. What do you say? And if others of us who have our hearts, you know, overflowing with God's bounties, let us be generous. So we'd like to thank that person or those persons and family of those persons for their worthy gifts. We do show our appreciation. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for love. We thank you for life. We thank you for your people here. We thank you, Lord, for these gifts that you have given to this church here at Washington Gardens. We thank you, Lord, for the generosity of your members, and we commit them to you, O God, and pray that you'll continue to pour out your blessing upon them so that as they give, the more they give, the more the blessing will fall. And help us, Lord, to remember that we can never outgive the Lord. So we ask, O God, your blessing on these gifts. May they serve the right purpose. And Father, protect them all from evildoers, from mischievous hands, from the devil. And allow these gifts to serve their purposes. As we continue worship, may your worship be even better. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.
Thank you. The scripture reading is taken from Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 to 22.
Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them upon your hands as a sign, so that they may act as frontlets between your eyes.
And ye shall teach them unto your children, saying of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates.
That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children.
In the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them.
As the days of the heaven upon the earth.
For ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you to do them,
to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways,
and to cleave unto him.
Revolution, the reformation that changed the world. But before he speaks to us, we will have Aboda who will give us a song of meditation.
My sister, we'll be flying away with our Savior. Lately I've been thinking, as I look all around me, see by the signs that we're soon gonna believe in. The bridegroom is coming to take us all away. Maybe tomorrow, but I pray that today, and we will fly away in the twinkling of an eye, leaving all our heartaches and telling them all goodbye. Yes, we will fly away when he hears his Father say, today's your wedding day. When we see the bridegroom in the clouds in the sky, will he be telling you hello or telling you
to keep our faith,
and we will
fly away in the twinkling of an eye, leaving all our heartaches and telling them all goodbye. Yes, we will
fly away when he hears his Father say,
Jesus, go and get your bride.
Today's your wedding day.
And we will fly away in the twinkling of an eye,
leaving all
when he heals his father's sick. Jesus, go and get your bride. Today's your wedding day.
What a day that will be, when we will fly away, when we can no longer think about all our heartaches, all our sorrows, the struggles that we face day after day. I am longing for that day. What about you? I want to first of all thank Sister Sujay and Janil for their kind words of introduction. At a moment there, I was wondering if they were actually speaking about me. But I want to thank them nonetheless. And also to the youth choir. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the keeper of my head. God has been keeping us as adults, as young people, as children. And we are indeed grateful to him for all the many blessings that he has been bestowing upon us. Now, today I want to speak to us under the caption, the importance of the Word of God. The importance of the Word of God. Sola Scriptura. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I stand before your people. You know, dear Lord, that there's nothing good about me, and I'm not even worthy to call upon your name. And so I ask, dear Lord, that you please forgive me of my sins, and that you will give me the words that you want me to speak. Let everything I say, dear Lord, everything I think, that it be according to your will. Thank you once more, dear Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, a lot of us may know of persons who, because of some tragic circumstances that they encounter, that was when they decided to give God, to give their lives to God. It was the same case with Martin Luther. Now, he was on the road going about his business when suddenly there was a thunderstorm. And because of that situation, he purposed in his heart, or he made a promise to God, that, Lord, if you saved me today, I will give my life to you. I will be a preacher for you. I will go to the church and become a monk. Now, Martin Luther did not have the wrong idea. He saw the need of coming to God. He was actually grown that way to give his life to God, to make God his everything. Because he had so many challenges, he was wondering, how could a God actually come down and save a sinful people that actually doesn't deserve all of this? But he saw the need, he saw the desire. Just as young people, we saw the need and we know about the desire to give our lives to God. And it's the same thing that Martin Luther decided to do. He saw that reason to give his life to God. There is a painting which that was done by a man named Lucas Cranach, who was the elder of the church that Martin Luther was a preacher of. Now, on this painting, it was a case where Martin Luther had a Bible open before him, and he was pointing to the Bible, and he was pointing to a drawing of Christ as well. And there were persons in the congregation seated just like how you are, paying attention and looking. But what was interesting about this painting was that there was a set of persons who, instead of actually listening what Martin Luther was saying, they found the time to talk to each other, to criticize what each other was wearing. And the reading pointed out that that experience that was happening then is the same experience that we have today in our churches. Now, what God wants for us as his people is that when we come into his courts, we come with the attitude of worship. Amen, brethren? We come with the attitude that our minds will be focused on God and not on each other. What God has done for us during the week, it's enough for us to keep our eyes focused on him. What our brothers and sisters are doing is not necessarily our business. I'm not saying that we should not care about each other, but what I'm saying is our eyes should be focused on the Lord. Amen? The painting that was done by Lucas Cranach was placed on the altar. And on that altar, there were some items that were, according to Luther, they were of no significance to the worship service. Now, Martin Luther ultimately rejected them as totally useless. Instead, he emphasized the real treasure of the gospel that would bring relief and peace to the believer. In his 95 theses that he nailed to the door of the church, and which triggered the Protestant Reformation, he says in one of his theses that the true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. The true treasures are therefore not the relics that could be brought for large sums of money back then, but rather the gospel. And today we are called as young people to study to show ourselves approved unto God, so that we may be able to carry the word out to somebody who are in need of it. And the benches and all of these things in here are not necessarily important. What is important is that we as youth and as adults alike are ready to bring the gospel to a dying world. It is the good news, the message that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. To proclaim this gospel became Luther's life work. As doctor of theology at the university and as preacher of the city church, as a friend, as a father, and even as a witness before the rulers in the imperial assembly, the word of God was Martin Luther's duty to preach to those in a dying world. To Martin Luther, the word of God was of great value to him. The word of God was important to him. The word of God was his instruction in how he is to live on this earth. The word of God was his guide. The word of God, said Martin Luther, is not old-fashioned nor mothered, but it is eternal. Hence, one of his slogans was, Verbum Dei Mane in Aeternum, which means, the word of God endures forever. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, as we will read together verses 6 to 8. That's Isaiah chapter 40. And I want us to look at verses 6 through to 8. And it says, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. Amen. Since the word of God does not change, in contrast to our transitory world, there is no better foundation on which to build our lives, regardless of our circumstances. My brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that we can rely on the word of God. It still has the same power that it had at the time when the first prophets were inspired to write on behalf of God. That is why it is worth putting all our trust in it. God's word, the Holy Scriptures, is sufficient for life and death. I say that again. God's word, the Holy Scriptures, they are sufficient for life and death. That was so important to Martin Luther that in the fourth verse of a famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, he wrote the following. The word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. In other words, God's word supersedes all human authority, whether they acknowledge it or not. So that goes to say that whatever I decide to think, or whatever I decide to say, whatever I decide to even preach, if I speak contrary to the word of God, then the truth is I'm a fool, because the word of God supersedes whatever mankind may think about. So no matter what our leaders say, if it is not a case that the word that they are speaking is not what the Bible says, then they are speaking contrary to what God is saying, and the light is not in them. So I implore us as brethren to ensure that whatever is said, that we know that the Bible stands and is true, and there's nothing that can come before the Bible, because the word of God stands forever. Also, in another well-known hymn written by Luther, begins with the word, "Sustain us, Lord, with your word." And if we decide to go through the scriptures, we will realize that there are a lot of passages in there that can sustain us, that can keep us to every challenge that we face. So if I face financial struggles, I know that when I go to the Bible, not if, when I go to the Bible, that there's something in it that can carry me through my struggles as a young person. Because I know that the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to my God. And I know that he will carry me through that financial struggle that I am facing. There's nothing too big that my God cannot do. While studying the Bible, it became clear to Luther that the good news that Jesus offers us salvation as a free gift is sufficiently and comprehensively taught in it. Therefore, no church tradition should supplement and change what Scripture clearly teaches. Sola Scriptura, which means only Scripture. Only the Word of God should have authority in our lives. Church tradition may be important for us here on earth, but what should stand forever in our lives is the Word of God. Such a clear statement provoked the opposition of the church. Soon, the reformer was charged with heresy while he was summoned to appear before the Imperial Assembly at the Diet of Worms in 1521. Emperor Charles V demanded that he recant the things that he had written. Luther was not prepared for this confrontation. He requested time to consider, and on the next day, when he was confronted with the order to deny what he had written, he answered with these words: "Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves. I am bound by scriptures. I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. May God help me. Amen." And as this may have been something that was said by Martin Luther in 1521, but if you look at it today in our society, in our world, we will realize that these words said by Martin Luther are words that should be said by us today. When we realize the things that are happening in America, the things that are done by the Pope, we realize that they are trying to change a lot of things that we as Seventh-day Adventists should be holding firm to. And I want for us as youth, because in today's time, a lot of the things that are happening are things that will easily sway us as young people from the word of God. So I implore us as young people, just like Martin Luther did in 1521, let us today, in 2017, be able to stand up before whomever we are called to stand up before, and declare that we will not be swayed away by any kind of doctrine, but we will hold true to the word of God, because the word of God stands forever, and the word of God is true to sustain us for forever. In Romans 12, verse 2, the Bible says that we should not be conformed to this world, but that we should be changed by the renewing of our mind. Now, just like Martin Luther was able to stand before that great council, we are implored as a church, especially as young people, to realize that we are peculiar, that we are different. And the things that we think about in meditation of our hearts, that it should be acceptable before God. So let us, as best as possible, to not be conformed to this world, but that the things of God, the things of the word, sola scriptura, only the word of God will be our guide. The word of God was so important for him, that is Martin Luther, that he prepared to bear all the consequences of his commitment to the Bible. My question to us is, are we prepared to bear all the consequences and commitment that we have given to the word of God? That is how Luther became to be known as a man of scriptures. And I ask us another question. Who are we known as today as youth and as a church? Are we known as a people of the Bible? Are we known as a people of the word of God? There are a lot of times when I hear persons out in the world, they say that when we look in society and we look for Christians, it is hard to identify them. And sometimes I question myself, why is it so hard for people to recognize that there goes a son of God, there goes a daughter of God? Why is it so hard for them when they look at us, they can see that Jesus is portrayed in our characters? But then, the answer is right in front of us. Nowadays, the Bible is not our instruction anymore. So when I need counsel, when I need something to help me through my problems, I decide to go to Dr. Google instead of Dr. Jesus. So instead of me trying to find that encouragement that I need to help me, something to let me know that God is not slack concerning the promises that he has promised, I instead try and go to someone else to find that promise. But and then when they turn their back against me, I then criticize them and said, how could they actually do this to me? They promised. But the Bible tells us that God is not slack concerning his promises, as we are as human beings. So the answers that we want, they are in front of us. But instead of going to the word of God, we decide to go to the internet. We decide to go to each other. But I beg of you, brethren, let the Bible, let scriptures be our guide as we try to live in this world. For centuries, the church had denied lay non-clergymen a woman access to the Bible. Now began a great interest in the Bible that was made accessible in the common language instead of ecclesiastical Latin, which itself was only understood by few scholars. It therefore seems logical that Martin Luther stopped preaching in Latin, choosing instead to preach in German, his people's common language. But that was not enough. For Martin Luther, the people should also be able to read the Bible in their own language. For this to become possible, the Bible had to be translated. A God-ordained opportunity arose when Prince Frederick the Wise had Martin Luther brought to the Wartburg Castle after the Diet of Worms to protect him from the wrath of the church and the emperor. There, in the safety of the castle, Luther embarked on the immense task of translating the Bible. He began with the New Testament, and with the assistance of scholarly friends, the work was soon completed. In September the following year, in 1522, the first edition of the so-called September Testament was printed. The entire Bible in the German language was published for the first time in 1534. Thank you. Until this death, Luther was continuously making improvements to his translation, with the intention of making the Word of God readable, accessible, and understood by the common people. Now we see here that everyone played a part in ensuring that the Word of God was accessible. And today, the same is expected of us. So it should not be the case, for example, on a first Sabbath, as the tradition is at my church. I don't know if it is the same here at Washington Gardens. But traditionally, on a first Sabbath is designated for personal ministries, right? And they would be the one who spearhead all the plannings. And especially in the evening, would be out in the road, out on the road, to ensure that the Word of God can be distributed to the community. And everyone in Martin Luther's time played an important part in ensuring that the Word of God was accessible. His friends helped him out. And so it is the same of us, especially as young people. Because God calls us because we are strong and we have the strength, we have most of the energy to go out in the world. So we are the ones to ensure that we are the forerunners to bring the Word of God to a dying world. So young people, I implore us, whether or not the opportunity is given for us to ensure that the Word of God is brought to the community, let us take the initiative to ensure that we are present to be able to preach the Word of God. The Word of God to be preached is not just designated for our leaders and our elders and especially our pastors. The Word of God is for all of us to be preached, for all of us to let others know that the soon coming of the Lord is sooner than we have ever thought before. The Dear Bible, as Martin Luther called it, was so important for the Reformer that he risked his life for it. How much does the Word of God mean to you? When was the last time you spent time with the Bible? Can you still remember what you read? Or was it so long ago that if I was to ask you to be honest with yourself, to tell me the last thing you read in the Bible, you will be able to tell me from memory? Or is it a case that we are able to have conversations about the Bible? Is it like for us today, not being engaged in this Bible, it's like for us as young people who, when we have our phones and it becomes dead, it is of no use to us. That is how we treat the Bible sometimes. So we only have it for a time and then we just put it aside because it is of no use to us. But the Bible can give us so much more than just the good feeling of having one on our shelf, which is actually a good start. But the Bible is meant to be read and listened to. And I'm not just talking about being able to listen to it on the internet, right? But I mean, when we read the Bible, do what the Word of God says. Let us not just be preachers, and I'm speaking to myself. Let us not just be preachers of the Word, but doers also. God wants to speak to us through His Word. You need to be familiar with it. It is God's letter to us. Only then will it become what is meant to be for us, God's personal word. And if we want to know what God has in store for us, the best place to go is in the Bible. And if we don't go to the Bible, then we will be lost. Because the Bible is known as a basic instruction for us before we leave this earth. And if we want to know how we should live, if we want to know that we should be the light of this world, we need to go back to the Bible. And our scripture reading that was ably done by our young men, speak to parents that they should ensure that their children know what the Word of God says. But when I thought about this text, I asked myself, how can the children know what the Bible says if we as adults, as parents, not know what the Word of God says for ourselves? How can we teach somebody what the Bible is saying if we don't even know what it is saying? That clearly means that we should ensure that we know what the Word of God says for ourselves. So it should not be the case that the pastor should be responsible for telling us that the Word of God says that we should not go this way, we should go that way. We should be able to study the scripture for ourselves so that we may be able to stand against the wiles that the devil is throwing at us. Because believe it or not, brethren, things will happen to us. And there will come a time when we will not be able to have the Word of God before us. So I implore us, let us study the Word of God before it is too late. The Word of God, according to the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 23, verse 29, is so powerful that it can even smash rock to pieces. It penetrates deep inside us, Hebrews 4, verse 12. But above all, it will change our lives, whether you believe it or not. If you spend time exploring the Bible, you will be changed. You enter the sphere of God's powerful influence, which becomes a source of strength for daily life. When you read and study His Word, God will reveal to us what we need to know the most: Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. He will lead us to embrace eternal life and experience the new life of godliness. That is why it is important to keep a small Bible with us always. In this age of technology, it is possible to have this on our phone. Here is a challenge to every young person: commit scripture to memory. And I know for AY, we have what we call morning watch. Now, this is a great example for us to know what the Bible says. But what I've realized growing up in the church is that we don't come back to AYs anymore. So when the AY leader tries to ensure that we know what the scripture is saying, most of us are not present to be able to study the scripture. So it's just a handful of us that is there to stand and say the morning watch text. And the church tries its best to ensure that as a people, we are equipped with the words of God. But as leaders of the church, sometimes we wonder if we are actually doing the right thing. Because we ensure that the avenues are available. So we all of these programs that we have in the church, especially our morning watch, we are not there, we are not present to even recite these passages. But the other interesting thing is that we are there during AY to recite the morning watch, but we have not studied them. So the effort that is exhibited by our young people to ensure that we know what the Bible is saying, we may write them down, if we even do obliged to write them down, but we do not study the Bible. What am I actually saying? I am saying that studying the Word of God is important for us today. If there's ever a time that we need to know what the Word of God is saying for us, it is now, brethren. A lot of things are unfolding before our eyes. And sometimes we are dependent on Bible classes to bring to us these light. And it is true that some of us do not have the gift of explaining what the Bible is saying. So we may need help, yes, but it should not be an excuse for us to actually study what the Word of God is saying for ourselves. So these avenues that are made are prepared for us. Let us ensure that we are present so that we can be able to study the Word of God also. So I asked of us to commit a scripture to memory. But we can do this at our own pace. And we can record these verses that we say from memory and try to increase the number of verses committed to memory each month. The time will come, and that is not long from now, when we shall stand, when we shall have to stand in courts to testify. The Bibles would have been taken away, but we have confidence that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance that which we have faithfully studied. So sometimes as young people, when we are brought, when we are supposed to be doing our examination, and there's maybe this chapter that we forgot to study, and we were not able to study it, and we ask God to bring it back to memory. But it may not work that way, brethren. Because if we have not studied it, there's nothing to bring back to memory. So we have to study the scriptures so the Holy Spirit can bring it back to memory. So that when we are brought before the courts to testify on whose side that we are standing on, we can declare as Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In her first small book called Early Writings, the young Ellen White wrote, "I recommend to you, dear reader, the Word of God. That counsel stemmed from her own experience of reading the Bible, which impacted and informed her whole life. She was a woman of the scriptures who lived with the Bible, loved the Bible, and read in God's Word every day. For her, it was a true source of life, just like it was for Luther, and hopefully it is for us as well. The Holy Scriptures, Old and New Testaments, are the written Word of God given by divine inspiration. The inspired authors spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In this Word, God has committed to humanity the knowledge necessary for salvation. The Holy Scriptures are supreme, authoritative, and the infallible revelation of His will. They are the standard for character, the test of experience, the definitive revealer of doctrines, and the trustworthy record of God's acts in history." So, the Word of God was not written by man. The Word of God is God's own word to us. It is our instruction for us today. So again, if we want to know how we are to be in a world like this, a sinful world like this, we need to go back to the Bible. If you want to be a people of the Word of God, just like how Ellen White was known as a woman of Scripture, or like Martin Luther was known as a man of Scripture, if you want to be known as a people of Scripture, we need to go back to the Word of God. And just like Ellen White recommended to us the Scripture, I recommend to us today the Word of God also. In closing, to be honest, it is not easy for us to say that we are going to read the Word of God and we actually do it. Because it is something good for us. And the devil knows what is actually good for us. So he tries everything to distract us. And he will place everything in our way, whether it be our friends, our families, remind us that our struggles are great, right? And we do not have the time to be reading the Bible. But I ask of us today, as of this moment, as of today, let us try to purpose in our heart that we will commit a scripture each day, commit a scripture to memory each day. And we have the avenues in our church to be able to do that. So if we want help, we have friends to help us to read the scripture. And if we don't have any support to be able to read the scripture, ask God to give you the strength to be able to read the scripture. If that is our desire, that Lord, I want to go back to the Bible. I realize that in these times, with a lot of things that are unfolding before us, that it is time to go back to the Word of God. That there's nothing more important or nothing that we should be able to stand by but the Word of God. If that is our desire, if that is our commitment, that we will stand by the Word of God, I ask of you to stand with me at this moment as a sign that I'm saying, Lord, I am going to stand by the word of God, especially as young people in this world. No matter what I face at school and from friends, I will stand by the word of God. Amen. Now, as we make this stand, let us remember that whatever it is that we may face, whatever it is that we may commit our lives to, the Word of God is true, and the Word of God is always there as a light for us. Whatever it is, brethren, as young people, we know that we have the Bible. The only true source that we should turn to is the Word of God. Nothing else is important for us today. And as we commit our lives as new converts, as we decide to take on this new road to something new, and a lot of things will happen to us as we decide to take this stand for Christ. But what I've realized in all of my youthful years on this earth is that the Word of God is true. And the Word of God will stand forever. So as we make this commitment, let us purpose in our hearts, just like how Daniel purposed in his heart to not let the things of Babylon defile him, his body. Let us purpose in our hearts that the Word of God will be our true source, will be our true light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have listened to your words, dear God, and we have made a commitment that we will study your word no matter what. But to be honest, Father, we have been trying a lot and we have failed. A lot of times we have decided that we, all right, at this moment I am going to be reading the word. But then something happened and distract us. We ask, dear Lord, that you will help us, that we will be determined, that we will purpose in our hearts to make the word of God a part of our lives. Help us, dear Father, that as we make this commitment, that we will be true to it, dear Father. Send your Holy Spirit to reveal our truth to us. Thank you, dear Lord, for these wonderful words of life that has been impacting our lives. And as we endeavor to learn more about you, dear Father, let us, in all of our endeavors, remember that the Word of God stands forever, and the Word of God is there to guide us. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.
All right, we want to thank our brother for this, the first presentation in our Youth Week of Prayer. We have a number of candidates, four of them. We're going to ask our church clerk at this time to present these candidates to us.